Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Well, I kind of wanted to interview you, but I don't know if you want to do that or not.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do it.
You want to do it right now?
Yeah. Do you have questions for me?
Oh yeah. I've been thinking about them all week.
For reals? So what do you have? I feel nervous now.
You better be. All right. So there's a couple things. Well, I didn't organize them so great because I thought some things I'd like to do a speed round and never go back to, because I think that would be fun if you couldn't circle back.
That would make me so uncomfortable. Uh-huh. I want to be understood.
Nope. Can't circle back. Okay. So maybe I'll just decide if we're going to go back to it or not as we go.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
So you're totally in charge.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay. Speed round. If I yelled out, Luda, would you know what I meant?
No idea. It sounded like Gouda.
Nope. Luda. Have you ever
what
been confused?
What does it mean?
He's a rapper. But we're not circling back.
Okay. Great.
Have you ever been confused by the species killer whale?
Confused by it?
Yeah.
Like in a conversation with one and I didn't understand what they said?
No. Yeah, it was whatever really stumped ya. No. Just, are they nice? Are they mean? What are they?
I feel not confused by them. I feel sad for them at SeaWorld.
So you have emotions about them.
I have emotions.
Okay. Have you ever seen any Bravo shows?
No, I've never had cable in my life.
Mm.
I know. That's hard. Yeah. Let's have a moment of silence.
If you had to give up one food, like when KFC ran out of chicken forever, and you had to choose between cheese or cinnamon rolls, what would you say goodbye to?
I would probably say goodbye to cheese, although that's really hard for me to say.
Right.
Because I love the cinnamon rolls on Christmas morning. It's so important to me.
Okay, but what about the eggs and the cheesy potatoes?
That never caught on in our house. I don't continue that.
Hear that, Mom? Next, have you ever given anyone CPR?
I never have given anyone CPR. I managed to dodge that every time I worked in the hospital. I never tried to dodge it, but I thankfully did dodge it. Have you given someone CPR?
No. I'm glad that you didn't try to dodge it. That would be so off-brand.
This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. And welcome back to the show. This is episode 133, and I am talking to my friend Kat Lee. You probably know who she is. She's a podcaster, she's an author, she has been on the show before. She was one of my first guests, but she is back today to talk about a new resource that she has just put out, a couple of them actually. She has a book and a new podcast that you need to know about. We also talk, though, about how great it's getting now that her kids are older. We talk about her yearly road trip and some of the adventures she's had on her previous road trips with her family every year. For those of you who don't remember from the first time she was on, they have a plan to drive to the 48 continental United States and see them all during the summers while their kids are at home. I live vicariously through all their travels. She talks about kids and social media and what to do when you are an ideas person and you have so many ideas and just not enough time to do them all. And as always, Kat gives us lots of great technology hacks because that's just how her brain works and it really helps out the rest of us. Before we get started, though, I have a couple of business items. Number one, at the top of the episode you heard, the cold open was my sister and I chitter-chattering. That is a special segment that comes out every other week called Struggling Sisters, and that is exclusively for Patreon supporters. Patreon is like Kickstarter, kind of. It's basically a way for you to support people who are making things that you love. So if you want more conversations like that and you want to support your favorite podcast, head to patreon.com/momstrugglingwell. Okay, item number two. I have a new marketing idea for all of you in my marketing department. Easter just happened. You have a lot of those plastic eggs laying around. You don't know what to do with them. Well, listen, I know what you can do with them. All you gotta do is write, listen to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Write that down 100 times on 100 little pieces of paper. We all have time for that, right? Put it in 100 little eggs and put one of those little eggs on everybody's doorstep in your neighborhood. It'll help you get your steps in. It'll help to get all those plastic eggs out of your house, which you know you want anyway. Then the moms at those houses will pick up the eggs and go, ugh, little Johnny forgot one of the eggs. She'll open it up to eat the candy because little Johnny's asleep, and she'll know about the podcast because of the paper you put in there. And she won't be eating chocolate, which will help her in the long term. So do you see how every single person benefits in this grand plan? Man, I'm so good at this. So go ahead and get on that, marketing department. Thanks in advance. All right, let's go ahead and get started on my chat with Kat Lee.
Hey, Kat, how are you today?
Good. How are you, Emily?
I'm so good. It's been a heck of a morning, but we're going to make it through. So why don't you tell us about yourself? You're one of my, I think my only, like my third repeat guest I've ever had.
Oh, I feel so special. I'll try not to say anything the same.
All different.
I won't say my name. Should I change my name?
That would be really helpful.
Okay.
Thank you.
Go. Yeah, my name's George.
Good. Well, that's an interesting choice. You didn't have a lot of time, though.
I didn't. Sure. Well, my name is Kat Lee, and I am from Waco, Texas, and I have a husband of almost 20 years in a month and 6 days.
Are you going to do something?
Well, okay. We're such nerds. We're getting each other new tennis rackets. We're going to do a tennis tournament, like do a mixed doubles tennis tournament, which we have not done in years.
That's so
fun.
And
so we're really excited about that.
Do you play tennis together a lot?
You know, I've been playing tennis with my daughter mostly, and we play together, you know, kind of when we can. It's been harder when the kids were little because we had to take them out to the tennis courts and then they wanted to hit with us and, you know, so we couldn't really hit. Now that they're older, we need to get back into a rhythm of playing regularly, but we try to. We're just trying to bring that back into our lives more. So
you signed up for like an actual tournament?
We will. That's the plan. Okay. We have not yet because we potentially need a bit more shaking off the rust of old age.
Okay. Now the tennis rackets, why do you need a new... Do they go bad after a while? I'm not
a
tennis person.
Well, let me put it this way. When my daughter took hers to one of her tennis practices or whatever, the coach saw it and laughed.
Oh.
So, okay. And it's actually not a bad racket. It's just 20 years old. So okay. It's kind of like pulling out the Backstreet Boys CD or something. Okay. You know, you're laughing.
Yeah.
So that's basically what it is. We just want something newer. I might keep playing with my racket. I don't know. I'm a little nostalgic, so we'll see. But the plan is to get new rackets.
Well, I love it.
And to play in a tournament. So that's what we're doing.
Okay.
And then I have 3 kids. They are 15, 13, and 10. So we're in, I feel like, a little bit of the golden age of parenting.
What do you love about it?
Well, they can do everything for themselves. Like my daughter was horribly sick yesterday, and she just informed me that she was sick. I didn't have to clean up anything. I didn't have to really help with anything. I brought her food occasionally. I checked on her. I gave her the password to watch movies, or she picked the movie. Then I gave the password for that particular movie, just to be clear.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of an easy age. And then it's really fun because they have great senses of humor. Mm. You know, they're still a little bit in the works. They don't entirely have the grip on sarcasm. So sometimes it gets a little rude. And so we have to walk them through that whole process.
Yes.
But generally, they get jokes and humor, and at least my teenage girls and I, we like to watch the same kinds of movies. It's just kind of fun. I mean, my kids aren't perfect, so they're teenagers as well. So, you know, it feels a little bit like walking on eggshells. 1 minute you can make a joke and it's funny. If you make the same joke the next minute, it's not funny. So
not okay.
There's that.
I am looking forward to being able to watch the same shows. I think I just don't watch movies because if we do, they're talking dogs and I would just really rather not.
Yeah. No, my girls and I loved watching Hallmark Christmas movies over the Christmas break.
Yes.
And they would text me message and be like, Mom, I'm on my way home. Can you pick out a really cringy one that has to be predictable and it has to be totally dorky and make popcorn? I'm like, yes, this is awesome.
So good. Now, everybody thinks those are cringy. So why do people watch them?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I watch them with my girls because they're easy to watch with your girls. I don't have to look them up on Common Sense Media and make sure that there's nothing terrible in it.
Okay.
So that's why the girls might like to watch them, because I don't usually just let them watch anything. And so
it's something new.
I don't know. It's something new. And then every now and then you get a gem.
Okay.
And so that kind of makes it fun, you know, because you get that dopamine hit. Ooh, this is a good one. Maybe the next one will be a good one. So maybe it's a little bit like gambling. I don't know. But
Okay, very low stakes. That's good.
Very low stakes, yeah. They're fun. And I think for me, part of the entertainment too is watching my kids cringe. And we're all like slapping our forehead saying, I can't believe she just said that. That was so cheesy. And so maybe making fun of it on occasion is part of the enjoyment.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I will look forward to that with my daughter. Do you have a dream that you want to start, or maybe an idea for a business, but you don't know how to actually get it up and going? Maybe you're trying to figure out how you can make more income from home so you can finally go on vacation every once in a while, for heaven's sakes. My friend Karen is the founder of the Pursuit Community, and she is going to help us out with this problem. So Karen's launching a new experience that I am personally going to be going on, and I can't wait. And I wanted to tell you about it in case you wanted to come too. So she's created a new experience called a mastermind retreat, and only 20 women get to go. So over the course of 6 months, Karen's going to walk with all 20 women, help them identify their strengths, dream up an idea, turn the idea into a profitable income stream that continues to make money while you sleep. That sounds pretty great to me. And the best part, we're all gathering at a gorgeous farmhouse outside of Nashville for a fun weekend of dreaming and planning, and I'm sure lots of amazing food and laughing. Karen has a really impressive history of building very profitable businesses. And so joining this group is like getting your hand held by someone who actually knows what they're doing. Karen's goal is to have your dream ready, launched, and making money by August. And because she loves Mom Struggling Well listeners almost as much as I do, she is going to give my listeners a coupon code to save $325 off the ticket cost. Visit pursuitcommunity.com and click mastermind for all the details. At registration, use the code MSW and you'll save $325. And I will see you in Nashville. Okay, so one of my favorite things about your story recently is that you do schooling with your kids every single way. You have homeschool, public school, private school.
Yes, we do.
And there's just a lot of people who have a lot of opinions, and sometimes we forget to have freedom and joy in our schooling choices because we feel like there's just the one right way and we get judgy. So tell me how that's going now that you've been homeschooling for like a year now, right?
Yeah, we actually only homeschool for 1 year at a time. So kind of our journey of education was we started our kids out in private school mainly because it was the only school that had a half-day kindergarten program. Okay. And my oldest daughter needs a ton of sleep. She still does. But at that point in time, she was still napping. And so we signed her up for that school because of we could go half a day. And we just stuck with it. We loved the school, so we didn't see any need to change. And then when they got a little bit older and we knew we were going to have to transition them at some point so that they could be involved in sports and extracurricular stuff at our high school, we transitioned them to our older two, to public intermediate and middle schools. And it didn't go awesome for my oldest daughter. It was the seventh grade, not probably the ideal year for transitioning. Mm. And it was the first year that that school had iPads for all the students. So the iPad security wasn't awesome at that point in time either. So, you know, kids at lunch would be watching horror movies and so she would be having nightmares. And so it's just not ideal. And she's very outgoing and I didn't think she would go for it. But I said, what do you think about homeschooling next year?
Okay.
And she ended up saying yes. So we ended up doing it and it was really great. Obviously not perfect. There were definitely moments when she was like, I wish I could be in school. But overall, it was just such a great year for us because I only homeschooled her. So I was able to focus on her and really get to know her and how she works and how she operates. And so now, you know, a couple of years later, when she's having a rough day, I feel like I really know what to do and how to reconnect with her. So there's that. And so then when my middle daughter, my 13-year-old, when she hit the eighth grade, we're homeschooling her this year. So right now we have the son in private school who's 10, the 13-year-old who's homeschooling, and the 15-year-old in public high school.
Okay. And so your plan is send her to ninth grade at the public high school?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's it's kind of a gap year.
Yeah, it is. I love it. So how is it different, the second child homeschooling?
Yeah, it is a lot more different than I expected it to be. I think it's part of the personalities of each of my kids. My oldest, we'd never done it before, and we homeschooled alongside a friend of mine who was homeschooling her son. Okay. So we got the same curriculum, and you know, every week or two, we would get together and do something. And so my oldest really went along with the curriculum that I set out. And, you know, being a first-time homeschooler, I was very ambitious, you know, and I had this spreadsheet for what she would do every single day. And she'd have to check stuff off and all this stuff. So it was a lot of work, but she kind of went with it. Okay. And then my 13-year-old, Allison, she's a bit more I don't know if independent is the word. She is a bit more self, not controlled. What would be the word I'm looking for? Self-directed.
Like disciplined?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So she has thoughts about how things should be and how they can go. And she's okay. Great. And so that makes her a great student in school. She would take care of her own homework, have everything set. And so I think when we decided to homeschool, she kind of had in her mind what it was going to be like. And we started out doing K-12, which is a public school homeschool option. And I thought that was going to be perfect because I wasn't going to have to plan anything. Okay. She would have real teachers online, and then she'd be able to transition seamlessly back into high school.
Okay.
The only problem is that it ended up being about 4 hours that she needed to be on the computer every day, okay, plus then homework. And so it just didn't feel, she was like, this doesn't feel like I'm homeschooling. This just feels like I'm doing school on the computer, but I'm spending a ton of time. So then we decided to do our own thing. So it's been a little bit of a journey to figure out what that is. So it hasn't been quite as easy and smooth as it was with my oldest, but it's been really a great opportunity, I think, to see the personality of my 13-year-old and how self-disciplined she is and all that.
That's so good. I feel like you're that way, like really internally motivated and stuff, would you say?
I think I am, yeah.
I feel like that would be like a nice thing to be around somebody that's the same way. Maybe, but I guess then she has an opinion and you have an opinion.
Yeah, we've definitely encountered that. And then, you know, as a 42-year-old self-disciplined person, I think I can sometimes put that on my kids. And that's something that I need to be careful about, you know.
And forget they're not 42.
Right. Or think back to all the things that I did when I was younger, the few things that were great, and forgetting all the not great things that I did, and saying, well, when I was her age, I did this, and remembering the good things instead of the not great things. And so, you know,
that is such a solid point. My husband's always like, I think you were a perfect kid. I was like, well, because I kind of think I was, you know, but he's trying to remind me you actually weren't. And you could ask your mom, but I don't want to ask my mom. I would rather think I was perfect.
Exactly.
Because I just think my daughter is not internally motivated or externally. I can't find out how she's motivated. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she is in some way. But anyway, so school has been definitely an adventure with us too, but in a different way.
I think any which way you go, it's interesting to be able to use those opportunities to learn about them. So, you know, you can narrow down, well, she's not motivated externally. You know, maybe she's motivated internally. Maybe she's motivated. You know, I just feel like all those different things can help you kind of narrow down what's not and what is. Like with my 13-year-old, we have realized that she's actually very much an extrovert.
Okay.
She's definitely my shyest kid. So if we went to a restaurant and I asked her to go ask the hostess for a menu, she would be the least likely of my kids to go do that for me.
Okay.
So you would think that maybe she's an introvert. But what we've learned this year is that she thrives on being around people.
Okay.
And so that's been a great thing for us to learn. And I think that's why homeschool has been more challenging for her, because she doesn't necessarily need that internal time. She's already internally motivated. So being around people kind of also motivates her externally. So I don't know. Yeah. All the different challenges that we've had, I think, have been good opportunities to realize how my kids are wired very, very differently.
Yeah, that's good. My daughter, I shouldn't say she's not. She loves animals, and so we're going to get her in horseback riding.
Oh, that's every kid's dream.
It really
awesome.
Is. I know. And so I think we can't go that much. It's expensive. So we're going to get into occasional horseback riding. Uh-huh. I'm hoping that will help. I don't know. Who knows?
Are you jealous?
No, I'm really not an animal person.
Okay.
Let me pause real quick and talk to you about one of today's sponsors, Care Of. Care Of is a monthly subscription vitamin service made from effective, quality ingredients personally tailored to your exact needs. So I just learned this. 90% of people fall short of the FDA recommended guidelines for at least one vitamin or nutrient. Care Of has a really fun online quiz that makes it easy to figure out the vitamins and supplements that you specifically need. It's simple and it only takes a few minutes to get your personalized supplement recommendations. Recommendations are based on clinical research and traditional medicine with input from doctors and nutritionists. You'll get a 30-day supply shipped right to your door. The quiz was fun and interesting, and I really love knowing that the vitamins I got are exactly what I need. Care Of is giving Mom Struggling Well listeners a deal. So for 25% off your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins, visit takecareof.com and enter code MSW. That's 25% off your first month of Care Of vitamins. Go to takecareof.com and use promo code MSW. Okay, so now I have to ask you about your road trip plans. You go on a road trip every year for summer with
your
family. And I'm sure, I know that it's early in the year, but do you know where you're going this summer?
We do. Not because I'm good at it, though. They call me the fourth child because I have no idea what we're doing any particular day. My husband is the road trip planning expert extraordinaire. So he starts planning in January for our summer road trip. And this year, I believe we're going to Yellowstone. We have four or six states left. I think six.
Because you're going to go to all 48.
Yes.
Okay.
And then our hope is that our kids, when they're older and make lots of money, they will take us to Alaska and Hawaii because we're not paying for it.
Yes.
No, we are going to, I think we have two trips left. So I think we have Oregon, Washington, Montana, maybe North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wyoming. Left.
Total.
Total. Yes.
Okay. And you're going to split that up into 2 years.
Yes. Because they're really far to drive from Texas.
So you fly and then drive or you drive?
No, we just drive.
Okay. And you have the rule where like the last day is you get some screen time. Is that how that goes?
Well, they get screen time every day. We might give them, depending on how long the drive is, we'd give them maybe 30 minutes to an hour every day. It used to be we didn't do any, but now that they're older, they want to text their friends, whatnot. But the last day we give them, it's like, you know, Lord of the Flies, free for all. They get a charger. They can do whatever, you know, as long as they want to in the car because they just endured 60 hours of car time over the course of 2.5 weeks. So,
yes. Is it that they get like an hour with their phone and then the rest of the time they don't have their phone? Or how does that work? Because my kids don't have phones, but I'm afraid I'm going to lose my kids when they get phones.
Yeah. So this year, I think this past year was the first year they all had phones. They've had different devices over the years, but we also use Circle Go, which limits their access to the internet and all that sort of stuff. And so they might have their phone, but then they can't access stuff. But I think we passed back their phones each day this road trip. But in past road trips, we'll go to the library and get a whole bunch of library books and we'll have road trip library books, like two huge bags of them. And then they'll read those, or we'll also get a bunch of audiobooks to listen to. Mm-hmm. And we do tons and tons of audiobooks on our trips.
Okay.
We'd actually try to when we go to historical places, because we're kind of history museum people on vacations as opposed to theme parky people.
Okay.
And so when we went to Williamsburg, we listened to The Story of the World. Have you heard of that?
It's a, yes, that's our curriculum at school.
Okay. We'd listen to that one in the Revolutionary era.
Okay.
And when we get there and we see neat places, they're like, oh, this is that. And they can make that connection. So it makes it that much more fun.
Yeah. You guys are probably not theme park people. And so your kids aren't. Is that accurate?
I think they would like theme parks if we took them there.
Okay. But they're fine with the museums.
Yeah. I mean, we've gone to really, really cool places that make, I mean, I feel like they make theme parks boring because we go to real places and do real things. Like we went on a Little House on the Prairie trip where we went up to Missouri where Laura Ingalls Wilder wrote her book. So we got to go to her house. We went exploring in some random cave my husband found out about.
I remember that. I was nervous for you.
Yeah, it was scary. We went through a really sketchy trailer park and knocked on a really sketchy door. And some sketchy men invited us into their house. We had to write our names down in case we didn't come out so that they would know who to look for. And then we went back into their property with our phone flashlights because we were completely unprepared and went, you know, I don't know how far deep into this completely unlit cave where we had just left those sketchy men and now we're in this crazy cave. So, you know, that's scarier than a theme park.
Oh, yes, true.
We went into another cave once on a different trip and there was a sketchy man. We had to write our names down. It was like a national park type place. So we just wrote our names down on a board that was outside the cave. But then a little while after we got there and started to go through the cave, this other man came who seemed sketchy.
Yes.
And so we're going through this deep, dark cave with no one else around. We'd driven on a dirt road for miles before we got there. And this sketchy man is following us through this cave. I'm sure he was fine. We even played hide and go seek and turned off our flashlights with sketchy man.
No. He was playing. Oh, no, he was not playing too.
He was sort of playing too. It was. I was nervous. Jimmy felt like he could take him. I was kind of nervous. I'm sure Jimmy could have taken him, but
were you having this conversation like?
We couldn't really without sketchy man hearing us.
Yeah.
So
were your kids like making signs with their eyes like, are we going to die in here?
I think they were pretty oblivious and Jimmy was in front and we were surrounding our children. And so, you know, I'm sure it was safe. He was just a mountainy kind of guy, you know, and a backpacker kind of person.
Yeah.
That doesn't make it sound any better. So anyway, That's much more of an adrenaline high than a roller coaster.
Yes. And you know, roller coasters are somewhat safe, and we have no idea if what you do with your children is safe.
Right. We've seen movies where the caves fall in and you're trapped.
Yeah.
And all that. So, you know, we do adventurous things, just not theme parks. I mean, we've taken them to Disneyland, but that was more of a token, hey, we've done this kind of thing.
Okay.
But, you know, we've also gone, though, to Branson, Missouri, to Silver Dollar City, and we actually like that theme park. So,
okay.
That's our one highly recommended theme park.
There you go. So fun. I think I told you this before, but a map of the United States, and I've colored in with chalk, because it's a chalkboard, where we've been, and it's so sad. And I think of you, and I think of how yours is almost full.
Well, now you have a fun goal.
I'm just the only one with the goal is the problem.
Well, you know, you can still do it.
Yeah, nothing. I just might be by myself. I don't know. It's just hard to get the motivation going. But I think if I planned it, they would go. I guess I just want my husband to plan it. So maybe Jimmy can plan our family trip.
Well, you know, he is sort of adorable, and he has a legal pad of paper that has every single place we've stayed, the mileage from one place to the next, the amount of money we spent on food, like every detail of every trip. And he keeps in his little yellow notebook in the side of the car, and he pulls it out every time we stop.
Why? Like, what's the point of that?
It's cute.
Posterity.
He also uses a paper map. I mean, he uses Google Maps too, but he likes to pull out the paper map too. No, because he likes to know exactly how much we're spending, because he wants to stay within budget for the trip, and we're going lots of places and doing lots of things. Okay. And he also wants to make sure he's on track with mileage and everything. He's just responsible. So all that to say, if any of our vacations have sounded fun, like the Little House on the Prairie one, where we also stayed in a covered wagon on the Ingalls homestead in South Dakota, which was awesome, because then there was a thunderstorm and it was kind of terrifying, but it was fun.
Wow. You paint quite the picture of your vacation.
Yeah, it was actually really, it was really fun. So if any of those sounded fun, I would just take a picture of the itinerary he has, and you could know exactly where to stay, exactly how many miles it's going to be, approximately how much gas it's going to cost.
I love it. I really might do that, because I'm the planner in the family, and frankly, I just don't feel like doing that.
Yeah, well, we have a legal pad that has everything you need.
You are such a resource.
Thanks.
Okay, so speaking of that, and you talk about your husband that way, but you are an organizer and you get stuff done and you help other people get stuff done. I know that when I had a blog, you helped me with your blog planning kit.
Oh, yeah.
And then you did consulting with me when I had an Etsy shop. And now you, the whole time, though, you have helped women with Hello Mornings, with getting their mornings organized. And now you have a book about it.
I do. I love getting things in order. I'm not, however, actually a naturally organized person.
Okay.
Like, I look at people like Emily Lay or Laura Casey. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
Yeah.
And they just, they seem like CPA type people who just need things to be organized in the best way, in the way that I want a roommate like that, you know, when I'm in college or whatever.
Oh, yeah. It benefits the rest of us. So.
Right. So absolutely. Much. But I am more of a, I see the benefit of being organized. And so I kind of have to fight through all the different things I do, hence the blog planning kit. Or I used to have a podcast called the Inspired to Action Podcast, or I used to have a blog called the Bloggable Music Network. I had all these different things, and I have to rein in all my ideas and all my thinking to try to bring about order. And I think that can be helpful sometimes to people, because I think there's a lot of people out there who need organization who aren't organized. And so it helps them to know that maybe I'm not too, but you can fight through all the ideas and all the stuff to get to a place that you can get stuff done.
Guys, I'm hooked on these Daily Harvest cups, because when things get crazy, I wind up eating junk food. I don't know if you saw my Instagram, but I hit the donuts pretty hard the other day. The worst part is that it leaves me feeling super gross. Then I get stressed out. Then I feel bad. And then if I'm not careful, I do it again. That is why I love Daily Harvest. They deliver frozen, plant-based food right to my door, and I don't even have to think about making a healthy choice. Daily Harvest gives perfectly portioned cups of frozen organic fruits and vegetables right to your door. Each cup stays fresh in the freezer, and it can be prepared in just one step. All you have to do is add water or your favorite milk, blend, or heat if it's soup. And with Daily Harvest, you can make an amazing meal or snack filled with delicious whole ingredients in just 30 seconds. Their smoothies and harvest bowls make a great healthy lunch or afternoon snack. They have a coconut chai one that I just had this afternoon for lunch. Amazing. so creamy, doesn't even taste like you're making a good choice, but you are. It's the perfect thing to have on hand for those days when you don't have time to cook, but Daily Harvest is becoming my first choice any time of day. So go to daily-harvest.com and enter promo code MSW to get 3 items free in your first box. That's promo code MSW for 3 free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com. That's daily-harvest.com. We were talking about earlier how much you're enjoying having just the one thing to focus on because you did. You stopped Inspired Action. You don't have the How They Blog podcast, which I loved. And I know people are still like, bring that back. Let's talk about that more. How do you figure out for a mom who does have lots of fun ideas, which thing to focus on and which things to let go of?
Honestly, it's a really, really hard process because I've probably felt for a while that maybe I needed to let go of the Inspired to Action podcast and just all the different things that I've done. I felt for a long time like I needed to let go of them, but my personality tends to be very, very faithful to a point of fault, possibly. Yeah. And I hate the idea of quitting. I hate the idea of letting people down. Oh, well, this is really helpful. How can I let it go? Mm-hmm. And so I feel like sometimes Lord has to bring me to a point where I just have to let something go. Mm-hmm. And that's where I got this past fall, just with the Hello Mornings book launch and everything with that, and then homeschooling and just everything happening in life. I got to a point where I just thought, I can't do all the things. I have to let something go. Mm-hmm. And it came down to, I can inspire moms with the Inspired to Action podcast, but what's really going to help them is meeting with Jesus. And there is no person I can interview. There's nothing I could say that's going to make as big of an impact on their life as if I could help them meet with Jesus every morning.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so for me, that made it kind of a no-brainer as to where my focus needed to be and what I needed to do. So that's when I laid down the Inspired to Action podcast and focusing now just on Hello Mornings. And the neat thing is that you feel like when you lay something down that you're going to be all confined. But I find that when you actually commit to just one thing and you focus on it, it kind of then opens up this great big world within that of all the things you can actually do, but you never even thought about because you couldn't think that deeply about it.
That's
Does that
so
make
good.
Sense?
Yes.
So that's been really encouraging.
So I know your book is about, well, I know the whole Hello Mornings thing is about doing a couple things before your kids wake up so that you're ready for the day. So tell me those things.
Yeah. So the heart behind it is just that we want to wake up for our lives and not just to our lives, or as a mom, for our kids and not just to our kids. Mm-hmm. So instead of waking up and just, you know, the kids jumping on you and saying, I need Cheerios, I want to watch a show, being able to wake up intentionally, and you don't necessarily even need to get out of bed if you have little ones and you're barely getting any sleep, but just waking up and making those first moments about the Lord and be like, thank you for today. Thank you that I have another day to be here and to impact my kids. How can I love my family well? So the three areas of Hello Mornings are God time, plan time, and move time. With the idea being that we want our days and we want our hearts centered around Christ. And then as we look forward into our day and we plan our day, we want those things centered around Him as well. So we want our time with God to bleed into our planning for the day. And we want the way that we look at our health and our fitness to be derived from our time with God as well, saying that, you know, I don't want to exercise or be healthy to fit into a certain size or be a certain weight on the scale, but so that I have the energy to do the things that God's called me to do with excellence and with joy. And it's easy to look at God time, plan time, and move time as these three separate things. You know, I want to do all of them, but it feels so overwhelming to do all of them. But if we really look at them as a whole, that God has a purpose for us and we need to, or, you know, we can live our lives according to that purpose and we can make choices so we have the energy to live according to that purpose. Mm-hmm. It kind of ties them all together and it makes it feel a little bit more doable. So we have a thing called the 3-minute morning where we start out the day with God time and we just pray Psalm 143:8 that says, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I've put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. And just a great way to start the day and to focus our hearts on Him. And then we just take a look at our calendar for our plan time and say, God, what on here needs to go? What needs to stay? Is there anybody that I can encourage or help today? Is there anything you want me to do? And just prayerfully looking over our schedule. And then for move time, it's just drinking a glass of water. It's the most basic way to increase our energy and to start off our day with a healthy choice. And so then in those 3 minutes, you've connected with the Lord. You've, you know, looked intentionally toward your day and you made a healthy choice. And you can do all those things without getting out of bed. So that's kind of awesome.
That's incredibly awesome.
Yeah.
That first, like, healthy choice makes such a big difference.
Mm-hmm. A huge difference.
It really
because,
does.
You know, the body's like 60% water. And if we start out our day and kind of just hydrate ourselves, one, we're going to feel less hungry. So we're going to grab probably not, you know, maybe a Pop-Tart for breakfast because like, oh, I just made a healthy choice. I don't want to ruin my healthy choice with an unhealthy choice. And I'm not starving as much so I can wait an extra minute to make an egg or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And it just hydrates us so that, you know, we're thinking more clearly, we have more energy, and it's just such a simple way to get started on the right foot.
Yes. So how does the book help us go into that deeper?
Yeah. So the book, it's not just about the 3 minutes. Really, the book is about living a purposeful life.
Okay.
But we start that by starting our day well. You know, the foundation of a purposeful life is with how we begin our day. And so the book, it shares a little bit of my story and the purpose that I feel like God's given to me and the ways that he's redeemed my story. Just sort of the short synopsis is that I never knew my mom. And so motherhood is a very tender thing for me. And the way that he's gifted me with my children and then through Helen Warnings brought about a really awesome story of me meeting my mom's family for the first time. And they're from the Philippines. And so it was just a crazy, crazy story.
I love those pictures.
Oh, me too. It's total ugly cry, but
so good.
But I love it. And it's just neat the way that he's steered my steps day by day in ways that didn't make sense. And I think that he has that for everybody. There's a story out there for everybody. And whatever our past is, I believe he wants to redeem it for his glory and for the good of others and for our own good as well. And the only way we can do that is by following him. And we do that just morning by morning. And so the book kind of gives that vision for life of living purposefully, of living intentionally. And then it gets really nerdy in detail, to be honest. We start with that 3 minute morning, but then there's complete chapters on God time. How do we study the Bible? How do we move from a 1 minute prayer to maybe a deeper Bible study? What are the different ways we can do it? How can we do it without getting overwhelmed? Mm-hmm. How do we build habits? Because really fundamentally, we want to build these great habits so that we're not consciously using our energy and our self-discipline and our willpower to make these decisions.
Yes.
We want our God time, our plan time, and our mood time to be natural parts of our day, just like we don't have to think about driving to the grocery store. We just sort of automatically know how to get there. And sometimes we accidentally drive there because we're just so used to going there.
Yep.
And we want the same thing with our God time and our plan time and our move time. It's just, it's this thing we've taken out of our conscious brain and moved it to our subconscious brain. And it's just who we are and what we do. And so I go into that in the book, the process of habit building and tools and ways we can build habits. So there's an entire chapter on God time. There's an entire chapter on plan time. How do we plan in a faith-filled way? So it's not about our plans. It's about his plans. How do we marry that together? Thinking about goals without stepping outside of his heart and his will.
Yeah, or just using him to just busy ourselves and wear ourselves out so that we look a certain way.
Yes. You know, and how can we make our plans a sacrifice to him every day? Being intentional with it, you know, at the same time, daily laying it at his feet, saying, hey, is this still you? Are we still on track? Mm. And then move time. What does it really mean to be healthy? And how can we get there in a way that isn't crazy? And, you know, kind of a giveaway of the chapter is that I think exercise is the very last thing that we do.
Okay.
So it talks about, you know, how can we drink more water and how that impacts us? How can we get more sleep and how that impacts us? And how a lot of times skipping those and going straight to the really hard exercise defeats the, not the purpose, but defeats the effectiveness.
Well, and
of
it's
the
not
exercise.
Sustainable because you're so tired. Yeah.
Exactly. Hmm. And so, you know, I get nerdy and there's studies in there as to why, you know, if you're not getting enough sleep, you're not having effective exercise. Just, you know, studies that people have done showing that if you are not well rested, then your body does not burn the same amount of calories and fat that would as if you were well rested. So just all kinds of studies, all kinds of stuff, but with the entire purpose of living a purposeful and Jesus-centered life.
I love it. It's so neat to me, the picture of redemption that God has worked in your life with not even knowing your mom and then the way you mother, in a sense, so many women. I love it.
It's totally him because, you know, honestly, it's very weird to me if I ever go speak at a women's conference because that is so not necessarily my thing. I would rather, historically, rather be at a football game or at Best Buy or, you know, women's conferences because I didn't grow up with a mom or sisters or anything like that. It made me feel intimidated because, well, I don't know how to dress. I don't know, you know, how to be and how to act. And so it's just neat how God has brought me to that place. And now I love being there. And I love the opportunity, encourage, and hopefully point people to Jesus.
Yes. You're such a blessing to so many women. So tell me about the podcast then. Is it not interviews with people? It's kind of just you, or how does that work?
It's actually both. So we do a couple things. I have a occasional co-host in Heather McFadden from God-Centered Mom.
Yes.
And some of the initial episodes are with her where we talk about kind of the basics of Hello Mornings, the basics of a morning routine. I actually think it's a series called Transformation for the Night Owl, something like that.
Oh, that's good.
So we have a bunch of episodes on that. And then I've interviewed people like Carrie Job and Katie Davis from the girl from Uganda. That was a really fun interview. But then we also do Hello Mornings Bible studies, and I also record those. So when we're doing one, I record those, the commentary and the scripture and the reflection questions, and then we posted those as podcasts. So, you know, there'll be 30 days at a time, I think, online of those. So, for example, if a mom is running late and wants to spend time with Jesus and read scripture and be encouraged, she can just pop on the podcast and listen to that while she's driving or while she's taking a walk or getting to work or whatever. And so it's, you know, hopefully a fun resource to really, really help people build the habit wherever they're at.
That's so good. It's funny because you should say that, because I've started doing like tiny little Bible studies too in my show, because like you said, it's so neat to hear two women talk about God and all that stuff. But I think lowering the barrier that people feel that they can't actually get into the word themselves because they don't have enough time or they don't understand it.
Exactly.
Yay. I love it. Well, it's just really fun to talk to you about all this stuff. So I just have to ask, I know that you have so many systems in place and you help women. What are some of the systems looking like in your own house? We only have a couple more minutes, but I'm assuming you have things kind of well sorted, like as far as chores and stuff.
You know, it's funny because it actually changes over time. Okay. So I had a great system for a while. Now that they're teenagers, it gets a little trickier because they get so busy. So for example, my 15-year-old, she has a lot on her plate. She does track, she does orchestra, and she's in public school. And so she doesn't have a ton of free time. And so I actually don't give her as many chores.
Okay.
And I've actually lowered the bar for all of my kids because of that, but I might need to adjust that. So in theory, the kids don't get their devices until they do their chore.
Okay.
So I have a little sign. It's actually a flow chart. And it said,
of course it is.
Can I watch screens? And it, on one side, it goes to yes or no. It says, have you done your list, which would be, you know, God time, doing your chore, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it goes to yes, you may watch screens. And then it says no. And then no, you can't. And then it says maybe or whatever. You know, kids sometimes say, have you done with your list? Sort of. I'm like, well, that's not yes. But yeah, we don't have an in-depth chore thing like we used to. They take care of dishes and we try to do that right before they leave for school. So I find for me, chores work best when it's just right first thing in the morning, because otherwise the day just gets kind of crazy.
That's a good idea. Yep. And they're more fresh and likely to do it without breaking down.
Right. Exactly.
Hopefully. Yes. Okay. How do you take care of yourself? What's your favorite way?
Oh, that's a good question. I think I would say a strength of mine is just checking in with myself often, in the sense of I don't feel like I get too off track for very long. And I think that could just be my capacity level. Maybe God has given me a lower capacity level for being off track. And so it forces me then to get back on track. And so if I feel like something is off track, like I have a little mission statement that I've written for myself. And as I read over that, if I feel like something is off track with me or my relationship with the Lord or one of my family members, then I kind of just pull in on whatever's outermost in my life, whether that's things that I go to or work that I do or whatever. I pull in until that thing is where it needs to be as much as possible. And I think that really helps me, just checking in often and making sure that on a daily basis I'm off track so I don't get way off track and then it becomes a huge ordeal to get back.
Yeah, that's really good, especially because sometimes we would think where we're off track and then kind of spin our wheels more to get back on track instead of pressing pause or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. I have one final question. What can you not stop talking about these days?
Okay. So there's a book that I recently read that I really like. It's called Unoffendable by Brant Hansen. And Brant, he's a DJ on, I don't remember, maybe Air One, I think. But I used to work with him when I lived in Houston and I worked at KSBJ Radio. And one, he's really funny. He's got this super sarcastic sense of humor. He has a podcast too. I think it's little snippets from his show and it's hilarious.
Okay.
this dry sense of humor. But this book is so good. And I tried encapsulating it into a little summary, and I'm just not good at that. But it's the idea of we as believers walking in love and in Christ so much that we are unoffendable as opposed to constantly offended, and living in a way that reaches out to people and helps people more than being offended and responding likewise. That's a terrible summary. I just encourage you. He's really funny in the way that he reads it. It's a very insightful book, but he balances with a ton of humor and great stories. So I highly recommend the Audible version. I'm sure the paper version is great too, but hearing him read it, you know, it's really well done since he's a GJ.
I love it. That sounds so good. I will check that out for sure. Well, Kat, thank you.
Thank you for having me. It's fun to chat with you.
You're so welcome. Such good stuff from Kat. Lots of ways to struggle well based on what she talked about. Number one, maybe this week you struggle well by getting her book and getting subscribed to that podcast. Spending time with the Lord is going to change everything about your life. Do it. Another strategy to struggle well would be to start planning a family road trip this summer. There's ways to make it super affordable. I am going to struggle well by stopping hoping that my husband, who is not a planner, will plan it because I am a planner. Might as well work within my giftings. Maybe you struggle well by going in a cave with a scary man and playing hide and seek. It's just an idea. Maybe you struggle well this week by looking into Common Sense Media and Circle Go, some of those technology things that Kat was talking about. I need to look up Circle Go. I never heard of that before. So ladies, as always, when you go shopping on Amazon, which you know you're going to do in about 5 minutes, you can support the show without any additional cost to you by going to amazon.com/shop/momstrugglingwell. Every little bit really does help, so thank you guys for doing that. Also, leaving reviews, rating the show, wherever you get your podcasts, also super helpful. Don't forget to come by Instagram on Wednesday night for Struggle Well Wednesday. It's always hysterical, and I promise you'll feel better about your mothering. Several of you moms told me this week, because I was having problems with one of my children spending too much in the lunch line, several of you made me feel so much better because some of y'all's kids buy dessert for their whole class. Some of y'all's kids spend $50 a day on accident. So it makes me feel a lot better that my kid spent $250. Oh my goodness, kids are hysterical. All right, ladies, let me go ahead and pray for us. Lord, there's like a million things that are competing for our time and our energy and our attention and our affections. God, would you save us from ourselves? We are not the smartest sometimes. We think we are, but we're pretty easily derailed from what actually matters. So I pray for these sweet moms. I pray for myself. Stir our affection for you. Strengthen us in our obedience. Help those of us who are just totally not doing what we're supposed to do to get on the right track. Lord, help it be voluntary and not through consequences, just like we hope with our own kids. Help us to see how much like kids we are. Lord, I pray that we would be spending time with you and that we would seek out resources like Hello Mornings and anything that resonates with us that would get us in your word and in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us, even when we are not even paying attention to you. But thank you for the rich blessings that come when we do. In Jesus' name, amen.